My thanks to the congregation here for the sadness they are inflicting on young children. For their great effort. I already had spoken to the elders about my appreciation for their vision. It's obvious as you look around that the body has worked well together to put together such a huge product. Lots of people doing lots of different things. And that doesn't happen without vision. And it's true, we get the vision from our body as well, but it takes leadership to notice that there is a vision that needs to be followed and chart a course. And I really appreciate that. They've done a masterful job. Probably like the other ones, the other teachers, you probably noticed that they got more material than they had hours for, so we got the same problem today as well, and we'll get through what we can. I've got several things I want to make sure I cover, but we'll get to what's happening there. Today's subject is mercy. Looking at mercy from the Lord and extending mercy. We'll talk about it very quickly in a general sort of way, and then I'm going to branch off, if you look at the outline, into a very specific way of granting mercy to people and giving people mercy, because I think it's a valuable thing for us to do in rebuilding relationships that haven't gone so well, and reestablishing relationships with people that you don't know, or maybe that's you haven't seen them for a long time, or for new people into the Lord. But let's start with the meditation, if you would. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. The question is, then, a very personal question. What would you like to see prosper for the Lord in your life? Consider that for a moment and jot down a couple of notes to yourself, and then we'll move on. Hopefully over these last 2 weeks, and among the four very divergent lessons that we've had, categories of lessons, you will have noticed several things that you would like to see prosper for your life in the sense of having the Lord move in you and grow in you. Let's start with this for a moment. This is going to be kind of quick. I'd like for you to, this will be kind of an individual thing, because it's just kind of a checklist, and then write in a quick explanation. In a court of law, would you prefer mercy or justice, and why? And when you're standing on the judgment day before God, would you prefer mercy or justice, and why? So I write that down. This is a no-brainer, folks. You ought to be able to figure this one out quickly. But go ahead and jot a couple of notes down there. Think about that for a moment, and we'll go over that.
Who's on trial, me?
You.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're in the court of law, and when you're before the judgment seat. Yeah. Yeah, we can think of what we want for other people really well, but we ought to be able to look at what we need. Curiously, then, in a court of law, a straw poll again, raise your hands. If you voted for mercy, would you raise your hand? If you voted for justice, raise your hand. That's about even up. That's interesting. Those that voted for mercy, why did you write that down? Someone give me a quick explanation.
Because I probably did it.
Because you probably did it, so please be kind to me. Yeah, okay. Nobody's perfect. Yes.
But the letter of the law can be very cruel.
Okay, the letter of the law can be very cruel. Okay? Those that voted for justice. Yes.
Because I think the letter of the law is made by man, and it's pretty self-explanatory. When a person crosses that line, they need to be disciplined, and they should understand why.
Okay. Understand why you're being disciplined. That's the law. Yeah.
If you're innocent of the charges,
okay. If you're innocent of the charges, you want justice. Because you want to prove your innocence. Absolutely. Okay. Okay, now, before God, do we want justice or mercy? If you wanted mercy, raise your hand. You wanted justice? Okay, yeah, that was about all the way on the mercy side. And why is that? Yeah, because we're all condemned. We're not going to make it, are we? We're not going to make it. We cannot do enough good stuff to deserve heaven. We cannot have done enough stuff in our life to pay for Christ dying for us. We can't do it. It's a no-win situation. Now, we can offer him our life in this life in a service. How about an exchange? You gave your life for me, I'll give my life for you. That's kind of fair. But when it comes down to the check marks, when the books of life are open and he got looking down through the name at all the stuff we've done, we'd really like to see a lot of that stuff marked out because of the blood of Jesus rather than not taken care of. We want that mercy. And that's what we're looking at today, is it's this idea of mercy. We understand it really well when we're talking about God's mercy to us. It gets really fuzzy when we would then turn it around and try to focus mercy beam onto other people. We want to really narrow it down instead of make it nice and big like God does for us. We want to do laser point kind of stuff with it rather than floodlight. So let's look at this idea. Matthew 5 and 7. Turn around and talk to your groups for a moment about the implications that are more than just there, okay? This is a simple passage, and we can explain it real easy. Well, you know, you want to show mercy so people be nice to you. But what is there more to this, do you think? What was Jesus trying to drive home to the people who he believed were going to be his followers? What did he want them to know about this subject? Take a couple of minutes and talk about this passage in your groups. And if you're not in a group, you're going to have to slide one way or the other. You figure that. This is the last day. You can figure it out on your own. You turn to your neighbor and go, shh. Thank you. What is it about this that you think really is important? What's some of the messages Jesus is trying to get across to us here? Okay, as we are judged, so we'll be judged.
We tied it in with where he says, as much as you've done, the least things you've done to me. So basically, by showing mercy to others, we're showing mercy to God.
Okay, if we show it mercy to others, we also are showing it to God. Yes. Okay, it does. Forgiveness is hand in hand with mercy. It doesn't happen without it. Absolutely. Other things that are there.
I think if you take the word blessed as happy, you're happy in your best coming verses. Because you're pretty sure when sometimes up against you, you need some mercy.
Okay. Okay, it's a promise. If you have shown mercy, then there's that promise of you'll be shown mercy. Now, it isn't why, but it's a good reason. I mean, yeah. We do it because of other things, absolutely. But there is that payoff, I think. Yeah. For eye doesn't cover for those mistakes, whereas mercy does. The other thing that I see here that was kind of alluded to was the idea that blessed are the merciful, the idea of having a sense of peace, a kind of a wholeness, is I think Jesus was also telling us that we're not really at peace with ourselves until we can take care of other people. If we hold those grudges and we let those things kind of fester inside of us, then we don't really have a sense of peace. We lose it. We don't have a sense of wholeness. Because every time we see that person, we got this thing that flags up inside of our head, and keeps us from enjoying a relationship. And Jesus is saying to us, there is a great sense of your own well-being that goes into your having the ability to be merciful. Because if you're able to do that, and when you are able to do that, you will find mercy. You will find that sense of wholeness, wellness within you. Minor kind of example, but one that's one that I can do easily. I mentioned that that Gaylene's dad lived with us for several years. And he was an unusual individual to live with us. He was not a believer, never intended to believe. He had his little diploma for perfect attendance when he was 6 or 7 or something, and that was good enough. And he had it up on his wall to prove that he had done something. And that's all he wanted. And he was by the time he was in our house, he was an obstinate old man. He delighted in trying to create problems, and we never let him. We never let him. Because I would go down to him and I'd say, "Gail, you are here because we love you. You're welcome to stay here as long as you want. But know that that behavior is not acceptable, and it will not make it a difference in the way that I love you, Gail. I am going to continue to bring your meals down, make sure you're taken care of. It's not going to make any difference how you behave, because I'm going to love you." And he'd get really flustered, and I'd leave, and for a while it'd be okay, and then he'd come up with some other scenario that might work. But it didn't, and it was a sense of, I'm going to provide you some mercy because I have a sense enough of our relationship, Gaylene and I, knowing how we're going to deal with Gail and our children and with what God has done for me. And so it allowed me to operate with him in a much different way than if I was to take all the stuff he said personally. Because then I'd been angry and upset and ranted and raved, and Gaylene had been angry, upset, and the kids had been mad, and it had just been a mess. But the idea of being merciful is a lifelong, life-changing kind of event for us. And that's why I think it's so important that we have it. I think this is one of the, I guess I've said that several times already, a key passage. Okay, so there are lots of key passages, you might guess, about how we can become mature in Christ and know what's going on. Let's see, as I think about how I want to do this. Okay, let's go to this. For a moment in your group, there are two slides, I think side by side. One says God's mercy to me and my mercy to others. And I think they're in your book just side by side even. So if you look at those, I'd like for you to talk about those for a minute. What does it look like? What is God's mercy? I want us to understand what it is, because sometimes when we don't have a good picture of what it is, we're not able to share it with others. So let's see if we can't develop a picture of God's mercy for us so that we know how important it is to transfer it to others. So God's mercy to me, what does it sound like? What does Scripture sound like to remind you about God's mercy? That kind of thing. And what does it look like? What does His mercy look like? And then when you've talked about that for a little bit, run over to the other one that says, my mercy to others, and be brutally honest with that. What does it look like when you get in the way? What happens when it doesn't look so good? Think about that one. Okay, take a couple minutes, about 5 minutes, to do that, if you will. Both sides of those, and then we'll talk about them. If I could have your attention again, I know it's short time, but hopefully as we go through this, if you got notes you want to jot down, you can do that. Because, like I said, we got a lot of stuff I'd like to cover. God's mercy, what does it sound like? Forgiveness, okay? What else? Pardon? A whole lot of love, okay? Sounds like love. It's what? Okay, it extends to everyone. And what? Authority. Oh, he has the authority. Okay, he has the authority to do that. Yeah. Sounds like rain, and it sounds like John's singing. Okay. Okay. Things that sound sweet. Yeah.
Sounds like a brook trickling continuously.
Okay, a brook continuing trickling continuously. I get that right. Okay, what does it look like? Jesus on the cross. Okay, a brother that was broken down and is now happy again. A forgiving of others. Okay. A great big band-aid with no sticky stuff. Yeah, not there. It just comes off. They always say, nope, no hurt. No, yeah, liars, all of them. Okay, no out, that's right. It doesn't happen. Okay, yeah.
The picture where the accused bears it,
okay, the footprints in the sand picture. Yeah, did you have something?
Like the mathematical sign for infinity.
Okay, the mathematical sign for infinity. There we are. Good. Okay, now the brutally honest side. What does my mercy look like? Forgetful? Yeah. Okay.
Like an angry face.
An angry face?
I don't do it.
Ah, great. Yeah, here I am. Inexperienced. No. Okay. What does it look like? Yes.
Has strings attached.
Has strings attached. An obstinate. An obstinance. Well, obviously, we can see that there's something wrong with these two pictures, right? It's, again, no genius to do that. And what we want to do is we want to, one of the lessons, I think, one of the clearest messages is from Matthew 18. And then we kind of changed things up. I found this little skit, and Cindy, with her troupe of performers, are going to put on this skit for us to illustrate Matthew 18.
Today's scene is going to take place in the fabled lost city of burgers. You, come here.
Mommy?
Don't you and me have some unfinished business to discuss?
You mean that 2,000 pounds I owe you?
No, we're talking about our chances of getting on Star Search. Of course we're talking about the 10,000 talents you owe us. Now, be up, or it's the curtains for you.
I just put many volumes on, but thanks anyway.
Look, if you don't give us the money this instant, we'll be forced to sell you, your wife, your children, your dogs, your cats, your relatives, and your mini blinds.
You can't do that.
And why not?
I already tried. I tried to sell them, but 14 people came and tried to give their money back.
Oh, why is it every time we ask you about this money, you've got some excuse?
Well, at least I'm consistent.
So, what is it this time?
Bad investments? I guess the world just wasn't ready for, designer loincloths.
So, you don't have our money?
I just need a few more weeks. Just a little more time.
No, no. We've had it long enough. There's only one thing left to do.
Don't kill me. Don't kill me. I'll be good. I mean it. I'll pay the money back. I just need more time. Please. Think how this is going to look to your subjects. Think how it's going to look on the news. Think about my credit rating.
We're not going to kill you.
Isn't that a weapon you've got?
Only if I want to give you a paper cut. This is a document saying that you've been forgiven of your debt.
I knew that.
Here, your slate has been wiped clean. Now, go.
But you don't, you mean I don't know anything?
Not a thing.
Not even interest? Well, how can I thank you?
By passing along this kindness to someone else.
Well, I can't believe this. My entire debt's been forgiven. This is too good. Hey, you! Come here. Hey, Parasite, get up. Quit sniveling. I don't care. I know that the good king just forgave me. No, I don't care. I know you only owe me 100 pence, and I know I just got forgiven. I was told to pass on my good fortune, but I will do that after I have handled you. You know what? How does jail sound to you? Oh, yes. I don't, you know what? I'll let him know when visiting hours are.
Oh, one more thing. Who's your friend?
She's not my friend. He owes me a debt, and he's going to jail.
Wait a minute. You're missing the point. We've forgiven your debt. Why don't you forgive this man his? That's the kindness we're talking about.
Well, I knew that. That's why he's coming home to dinner with me.
I thought you were taking me to jail.
Hey, my husband's a little, you know, little uptight, but it's not jail, no.
So, you really intended to send this man to prison for his debt?
It was a slight misunderstanding, that's all.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe jail is the answer.
Yeah, maybe a jail sentence would do good.
Take the prisoner away.
Yeah, take him away. Wait, what's going on?
You're being judged as you judged others.
I want a retrial.
Sorry, the verdict has been handed down by you.
Oh, I can't even appeal.
Nope, go ahead.
After all, the sentence you hand out could very well end up being your own.
Thank you.
Good job. I heard Oscar already mentioned. Boy, this is all right. We know it comes from Matthew 18 chapter, and this is one of those passages that is also one of those light bulb, I talked about that earlier, one of those light bulb passages for me. This is a critical passage. One of the things that strikes me so hard is at the end of that passage, let's see, and I think it's up here. At the end of that passage, in verse 35, Jesus says, and unusually, because Jesus seldom, not never, but seldom explained or qualified his parables. He just gave them to the people and they kind of took them and molded them over. This is one of the few exceptions. He says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. The point is very clear. Mercy, forgiveness is critical to our own well-being. So it comes down to that kind of time when, earlier I did the balances. I do a lot of thing in balances, you know, you kind of figure things out, because a balance scale is easy. Let's see. God forgives me, and I have to forgive others. I don't forgive others, and God doesn't forgive me. Now, how is this balance going to work out here? Well, it's a no-brainer. I mean, I want God to forgive me. That's the bottom line. So I don't have much choice. I want to forgive other people. That's a driven for me. So it's difficult. Maybe not impossible, but it's very difficult for you to do something to me that I can't forgive you about because of this passage. It is so critically important having mercy in our life, having forgiveness in our life, in our whole well-being of things. I wanted you to focus in a way that you can do this in a very practical way. I wanted to give you something to think about, maybe that you had never tried before, and next by extending a blessing. In 1 Peter 3, 8 through 9, you find this passage. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another, be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Peter is telling us that when we have problems in our life, evil insults, I am to replace those with blessing. Replace those with blessing. Now, we haven't generally considered a blessing in our society. We don't think about that too often. I got involved with it with some other kinds of things as I was doing some research. But this passage is an interesting passage. This is where blessings began in the sense of an official kind of blessing. Numbers 6, we sing this one. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. What I'd like for us to see here is, as we think about this maybe new idea of blessing people, that it really is not so much a blessing from us, we simply are being a conduit. Because you notice even in this passage, who is doing the blessing? God's doing the blessing. The people are just mouthing the words. God's doing all the work. They're just putting people on notice that God is going to do something great in your life if you'll let him. And so that's the idea that I would like for you to think about as we think about modern day blessing, giving blessings to people nowadays. There are several words here that are important. You'll see those. The idea of the word bless, which means to provide benefit for something. I'm going to go through these kind of quickly so we can get to it. The idea of keep, which is a hedge. It actually has the sense of the hedge of thorns for protection, to keep wild animals out of a den or out of a vine that had a hedge of thorns they would grow up. This is the Lord to keep you, to build a hedge around you, to shine, to illuminate, to give direction, to allow so that you can know where your steps are going, so they're clear, to be gracious or kindness, in order to bend or to stoop in kindness to someone. The idea of toward, which is means looking at. The word actually comes from God's face turning toward something. So you get this sense of God looking at you when he hadn't been before. And the idea of peace or safety. If you look, someone look at the next passage. There are five examples of blessing there. Someone read Exodus 32 and 22. And I'll show you what I'm going to do with these. But I'd like for us to hear the passage first before I show you how you might use it for a blessing. Exodus 23, 22, I believe. Someone read that nice and loud.
Which chapter again, Dan?
23:22. Okay, what I'm going to suggest here is using scripture as a way of blessing people. Using scriptural passages, as you think about people who are close in your lives or people you would like to encourage them in the Lord, this is the way to do it. And what I've done then is taken the liberty to insert a name and kind of change the scripture into first person so that it makes it personalized. Like, for instance, Lord, may Tyler listen carefully to what you say and do all you say so that you will be an enemy to her enemies and will oppose those that oppose her. Can you see the power in that? If you would write that on a 3x5 card, someone that you're concerned about or someone that you're praying for, and just write that scripture out and hand it to them. I think there's a lot of power there, folks. A lot of power. The next one. Someone read the next one for us. Deuteronomy 1:29, about feasts, about peace.
Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them.
Well, maybe I got the wrong passage in. Let me look at it. We'll see what I've... Maybe I need probably verse 30 in there too, then would be my guess. What does verse 30 say?
The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes.
Okay. But look at this one. Lord, may Keith not be terrified or afraid of circumstances, because the Lord his God is going before him and will fight for him and will carry him straight through. Okay, next passage. 2 Thessalonians 2, 2 and 3. Passage on protection. 2 Thessalonians 2, 2 and 3.
We ask you, brothers, not to be unsettled or alarmed by some letters supposedly to come from us, saying that the day of the Lord is already come. But let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come to the rebellion of the terror of the
town of Paul's Mrs. Field. Okay. Either I got a wrong passage. Was that 2 Thessalonians? Maybe it should have been 1 Thessalonians. I thought I had checked these, but it looks like maybe I didn't. Now, it looks like I'll have to look that one up. I don't know what I did with that one. Well, it would be something along this line. Lord, may Taylor be delivered from wicked and evil people, for you are faithful and will strengthen and protect her from the evil one. Well, I guess that's from 2 Thessalonians. It just is a shorted version of that. But again, the idea of looking at the protecting... someone said third chapter, 3, 2 and 3. Is that right? Okay, so that needs to be changed to 2 Thessalonians 3. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, well, it's one of the points you're driving at is that it is brought out to us that we're not to do some of God's deed, otherwise we'd be partakers in those evil deeds. And so sometimes we take the ball and run away from that thing, Well, anybody who's not an archangel, we're not blessed there.
Well, I hadn't thought about it, but that's true. We have a tendency to go the other way, and I'm wanting us to think about going the other direction of providing a blessing, providing an encouragement to people. Yes?
You might get into this, okay, I'm not going to step on this, but we're in discussion with somebody. We see the sincerity in somebody. Maybe there's some obvious doctrinal differences between Christ and us. I'd like to do a blessing, but an increase, but the obligation is you can't agree with them, but at the same time, that's not saying that you're all right.
Sure. Yeah, the idea of working with someone who may not have all of the truth in front of them, but encourage them to continue to seek wisdom from God, because he is one that looks for those that seek after him. His eyes roam throughout the earth. Okay? The next one, whoops, illumination. Someone go ahead and read Zechariah 4 and 6.
Come, come, flee for the land of the north, declares the Lord. For I have scattered you to the four winds of heaven, declares the Lord.
Well, I did a bad job on this one, didn't I? Oh.
Oh, I read the wrong one.
Oh.
Well, you went chapter 4.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. 4:6. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty.
Okay. So Lord, as Donovan faces obstacles in his life, may he always remember that to overcome them will not be by his might, nor by his power, but by the spirit. So says the Lord Almighty. And last one, Romans 12 and 2.
Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world,
but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Okay. And Lord, may Abby not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of her mind, testing and approving what your will is for her. What I'm trying for us to think about here is a way for us to encourage our children to, now with all the great computer programs, pick these little scriptures out, put them down onto the computer program, make a nice little printout page, put it up in a 5x7 little hanging thing, and stick it up there on the wall. Stick it up in their bedrooms to encourage them. Let them know that you're thinking about it. Looking for things John talked about, knowing your children. So finding those things that you think are important in their life. What I'd like for you to do for a moment, just personally, is think about what scripture, if you think about a person and a scripture that you might use to bless somebody. I mean, you don't have to do it, but I'd like for you to think about for a moment about what that might feel like and look like. So think about one of your favorite passages, then how might you apply it to somebody else? And then kind of jot some notes down to yourself about if you might like to do that. So think about that for a moment, if you would. Any comments that you have about this idea? Obviously, it's just, we haven't had a lot of time to expand it, but it's the idea of looking at people in mercy. Yes?
Solomon said, a righteous man studies things. We also refer to the word of God as
the idea of we have a treasure trove that we can give to people, and sometimes we give them the pence rather than the expanse of it. Mike?
One format that you might use would be to encourage the person to memorize the scripture that you have in consideration.
Yeah.
Memorize it with them. Because then it's like you're saying on a wall.
That's right. It's there. Okay, he suggested that another format would be to encourage those people to memorize that passage and encourage and memorize it with them so it becomes a part of them rather than just wall hanging. Okay, other comments there? Yeah. Okay, if it's in your home, you could even put it up on the mirror in front if you have a household. Put it up in the mirror. Have a weekly one that sticks up there. And bless it. Huh? Yeah, we're always looking there. So, yeah, somebody's going to see it, aren't they?
Jay Graham has a habit of ending his email with a scripture. And it's always, and I don't know just exactly how his mind works to do this, but it's always a scripture that somehow relates to the main thread of whatever the email is about. And it may be an ironic relationship or a wry, humorous relationship, but he manages to convey a blessing that way a lot of the time.
Okay. Jay Graham does that with his email, I was saying. He always seems to be able to pull that. I would encourage you to, this is another one of those subjects where you're just going to need to take it home and think about it, perhaps. But let me share a little bit. We, for many years, have had a group that meets in our house on Thursday nights, just for Bible study and prayer. And we did a study on blessing and decided for a period of time to bless each other. And we did it on birthdays. And we would have, with that person's agreement, during our study time, they would come in and sit them into the middle of our room, sit them in a chair, and we would gather around them and place our hands on them, that physical touch. And then for a period of time, just give them a blessing. Give them scriptures of hope for them. Give them points that we have seen that we have enjoyed about our relationship with them, just as a point of encouragement. And then it got to be that there were some people, as they struggled with particular areas in their life, said, I really need help in this. And they asked for a blessing. So we'd sit him in the middle of our living room, sit him in a chair, put our hands on him, and we'd pray for them in a sense of blessing for the struggle that they were facing. And it was an unusual kind of an event for me, as we, because that wasn't exactly where I thought we were going to lead with it when we started the study, but that's where it ended up, and it turned out to be something that was pretty dynamic for those people that wanted to be involved. So think about it, something to look at. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Janice was relating that people in San Jose had written blessings or prayers for John just before he was born, and she saved those of them. And they will be valuable to him when he's an adult. They will, and they're valuable to you now. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great thing. Okay, we're out of time. Okay. We'll wrap this up. 2 Peter 1:8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That would be my prayer for you, that as you go through this process of looking back over these notes, thinking about what we've talked about, that, and all of the teachers have talked about in the lessons in the evening, that you'll find ways to increase your faith in the Lord so that you'll be continuing to be effective and productive in His skill and His work and whatever way He has for you. I would encourage you also to, there's a section right there on the last page, to think about your own personal growth plan. Sometime then when this is all kind of settled down, that you just go back and say, you know, what do I have to praise the Lord for? What's going on here? It's been so good, so great. And then find things that I would like to mature in. And then develop a plan. Start working on it. Knowing with God's help, you can indeed be effective and productive in His life. Thank you for the privilege of being here and sharing this time with you. And we'll be back at... And another 10 minutes, 25 till.